You don't believe? What is it, like Santa Claus or some shit?
Exactly. No, no. Hello, welcome to another episode of Another Latino with a Podcast. I'm the Latino with a Podcast, Christian Hennigsmeyer, and today I am with Keeney Jamaica. That's how you're called.
Yeah, in
the Instagram, but that's how you want to be called.
I have a lot of different aliases.
Exactly. What is the alias we're going to use?
Okay,
today?
Well, let's start with the government name. My name is Kendra Jamaica.
Exactly.
I go by Kenny, and the reason it's Keeney is because Kenny from the block was taken on Instagram. I've sent them messages.
And you're like, I'm going to just change one letter.
I mean, it's something, because it's an active. Kenny from the block is an active, and it's just taken, so I send them a message once a year.
JLo is like, stop that.
I
am the one from the block. Like, there cannot be that many people from the block.
Perhaps it was a cease and desist, but I'm not allowed to talk about that.
I would love a cease and desist from JLo. It's like, hey, you're going to be from the block.
Yeah, no, just one from the block. Even though, I mean, is she really from the block? Let's not get into that, though.
Let's not get
into that. Cease and desist, like, I can.
That truly happened? It didn't happen.
No, I mean, come on.
JLo watching my podcast is like, wait a minute, now you get it? Okay.
I'm an industry plant.
You know that I saw a video that apparently industry plans before they were like so obvious.
Yeah.
Because it's like these artists out of nowhere now has like all his songs in the radio, like what is happening. I believe Goethe, they try it, like the now you're just somebody
that I used.
I believe they really tried to put him as an industry plan and then he was like, I don't have any other songs.
One song and then just left.
And that's it. Like,
I think that stays.
That's like
that
one
song
hit wonder
consistently
and
stays in my top played music every year.
Because it was an amazing song.
It was an amazing song.
But he's like, that's it. That's
just one.
Do you believe he still like gets a lot of money from royalties on that song?
I want to believe, but I am... The entertainment industry is not a fairy tale world, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, actually, we give the money to the producers. So
no, absolutely. They're probably like, hey, we'll buy you out for like $500,000.
Like, hey, I am somebody that... People used to know, okay? Like, no, but go ahead. Like, really, like, he did really bad. But I saw, like, what I saw in the video was that now they're doing the industry plan so much better thanks to social media.
Yeah, and that's Ice Spice.
Like, and that's why, like, Ice Spice, and they started doing it with Sabrina Carpenter at the beginning. Now she has her own
fame, right?
But it's like, when you see a TikTok with a song and the song is catchy, but you don't know the artist, you just know like the song.
Yeah.
Like that, that happened with like the one that is "I'm feeling lonely." That was like,
I don't know.
I'll put it because I told her like I
sounded a little bit like Justin Bieber, which pobrecito, he's going through it right now.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Ya que la Selena Gomez is engaged to Benny Blanco.
No, but he have to like go. His moment is
no definitivo. how can you let go when every year like the social media is bringing up videos like, I mean, the trend right now is that Hailey Bieber was a stalker and they got the evidence. So está loco.
I mean, he went through a lot. I believe
I do believe he went through
a lot.
I do believe he went through a lot.
I forgive him for being clingy on Selena because I put myself in the spot that he was, and I believe it's like, this is the only person in the entertainment industry that you feel like a safe space, and this person broke up with you, it's like, please don't.
Right.
Like, I do.
Well, then you're alone.
Yeah. Then he's like, actually alone. Yeah. So I don't blame him for being clingy, because imagine you have a safe space, and that safe space one day decide
to move on with her life.
Yeah,
let's not villainize Selena Gomez.
I'm not saying anything.
Era niños. But you grow up so quick in the entertainment industry. Like, I think about that all the time. Imagine being a kid and you make your mortgage for your family and then they're trying to be like, you're grounded. I'm not going to listen to you.
First that, and second, like, I don't know if you have seen, but all of the parents, like, all of the kid actors that become parents, they're like, I'm not letting my kid be
in the entertainment industry. Oh, absolutely.
And there's a reason. There's
absolutely
a reason. This is the song. This is, I don't, okay, I'll put it for I don't know how long I can put it. But
without copywriting?
Without copyright. I believe 15 seconds. Okay. I'll
Also, like 2 seconds?
Like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I heard that more on TikTok more than
exactly. It was TikTok, but it became famous, and it's like a group called 5050. It's like no one knows about them, but this song was viral.
Yeah.
So I believe like the industry, like
it's easy to make things viral. Well, also I feel like if no matter what song, no matter what sound, if they're like this will be a trending sound, then everybody's gonna get in on it because they want to be
trendy. Yeah, and they show you a number like this song has been used 2 million times.
2 million times.
And this song that you want to put has been used 2,000 times. You're like, okay, I'll
I have no choice but to sell out.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what you're doing for the comedy scene in Latino comedy scene, because I believe like the work is being done. Actually, yesterday I met a guy from Milwaukee, and he was like, dude, that's so dope that you can do stuff in Spanish. And it's like, yeah, it's open up, like it's really opening up. And 2-3 years ago, at least in Chicago, I remember like there was the intention of opening like spaces in Spanish, and someone told me, like I saw people trying and fail, and someone told me, I was Tito told me, dude, many people have tried, and every time it fails because there's not enough like culture or consistency on the audience and the comics to create that. But I believe it's happening. I truly believe it's happening.
Me too.
So there's right now, I believe a Haha House is in Pilsen, in Simone's. There's like Gamers Hall and Scandalo. I don't know if you do it in English or Spanish.
Yeah, Spanglish.
There you go, perfect. There's like the Logan Theater, like the Improv Logan Theater with Ruby Mendez. He's doing an amazing work there supporting Latinos. So, and there's audience. There's always audience. So I believe it's happening. So I want to have your insight on this.
Yeah, I think it's a long time coming. O sea, there's so many Latinos, Latines in Chicago. You know, I partner with Rudy Mendoza, who's working on the bilingual improv school, and he loves the statistic that 1 in 3 Chicagoans are Latine, but when you go to the stages, that's not represented.
Yeah.
And why is that? And I'll talk about it from an improv world, because stand-up is like, I'm newer to it, but improv
She's
is
an
acting.
Amazing host.
Thank you. Me encanta. I love to host. So book me if you need a host or an MC for a corporate event. Thank you. Pero improv is acting. So a lot of times when people think comedy, they think stand-up. That's the only form of comedy they know. But improv is pretty much we go up in front of an audience and it's through an acting lens. So if we get a suggestion, then everything we do on the spot is made up and it's kind of just scenes and it's supposed to be silly.
I'll be honest. I have talked on camera. That I think
talking improv.
Improv, yeah. I don't believe.
Oh, you don't believe? What is it, like Santa Claus or some shit?
Exactly. No, no.
Hater.
She immediately getting like, you know what? She just
flipped. Yeah, because I'm here to defend.
She just flipped the mic. No, I do like when people defend, but this is what I don't like about improv. I believe there's, I do like what Ruben is doing because I saw it because I was in one show in Logan Improv, and the way they treat improv is the same way I saw improv when I was back in Venezuela. Mm. And it's like the intention is to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. And the creation of the story goes to that. Like what I've been seeing in a lot of improv is like they have like the story and they don't know how to punchline it. So it's just weird because like you sell it like something that is going to be funny. It's going to be entertainment.
That's amazing.
And it ends up being something that is like you are just taking words and making a story. But
that's incredible.
But it's not going anywhere. But
no, I got a improv, nice little segue. So you probably saw a lot of, I know I hate to say this, a lot of white improv.
Exactly.
And what we're working on, I'll talk about Dama Productions because that's the company that I run these shows under. But for just a quick little thing about improv. So a lot of improv is all white people. Why? Because the only way to learn improv is to take classes. How much are the classes? About $300 to $500 for about 6 weeks. First of all, who has a time commitment for that? And who has $300 to $500 to just drop on one improv class? And you really need to take, if you do a curriculum, you're talking at least like 6 improv classes. I know many people, like this one Latine who is so talented, he's so young, he's hungry, and he's like, yeah, I took the entire Second City course, $5,000. Pa qué? Because here's the thing, we were just talking about that, it's like, there is funny. You can learn technique, which is so great because same thing with stand-up.
Yeah.
You can learn a technique to make you flow better. So it's not so much about like, are you funny or not? You can learn things to make yourself funny. But at the end of the day, when you're with people that are like, that know you, that are, especially for like Latinas that know your cultura, like it's just funny because then you could be your full self instead of having to shrink yourself down to who people might. Like, if I say, oh, let's go get some tinga, if the person I'm playing with doesn't know what tinga is, instead of going with the scene and making it up, they'll be like, what is that? Well, I don't get it.
Or what I see happening that is like, what if instead of tinga, we can also go for cereal? And, it's like, that's not the funny. Even if you don't know and but you want to put to the scene and you're a white person.
Exacto.
If you want to punchline that, it's so easy. It's like, tinga, that's the name of my cousin. Like, there you go. Like, you have something to play with it.
Take it with you. You keep going.
But the thing is, like, they try to create a story without, like, the punchline, without anything. And so it's like, yes, I'll go with you. Let me grab your arm. And it's like, this is not, what are you doing? This is not going anywhere.
No, it's a different format. Like, I think good improv is when you're doing something versus talking about it.
Yes.
Like if we're going, I'm like, let's go to the store. And I start walking to the store. We start walking and seeing all shit. That's going to be a lot funnier than us talking about going to the store. And I think that's what I really love about Escándalo. And whenever I do Latina comedy is because we're not focused on that. We're focused on trying to bring back our stories from childhood. We're talking about fucking family trauma. We had a show on Friday and we were talking about family trauma and some shit. And I was talking about how I grew up in an all white neighborhood. And so I don't know if you ever saw this, but like the first time you ever saw like your white friends yelling at their parents.
I've seen it.
That shit blew me away. Like, because like, you know, at home, we don't do that. We're like, yes, mama. No, mama. Yes, this is. And then I went to my friend's place and
in Latino houses, like.
No, you it's never.
Like Kendra, and you're like, what?
No,
like,
mande.
Mande o señora.
Literally.
You're going to be like, ¿qué?
No, never. And I remember like my white friends were like, I don't know what I want to eat, mom. God, stop asking me. And I just was shook. But all this to say is like.
Literally. Pero, like, I'm gonna hate you.
I try to. No, I'm just kidding. But afterwards, a lot of people came up to me and they're like, that happened to me. And I think that's what good improv is. When you can see your life on stage, then you can relate to it.
Yes.
But if we're just talking about like cheddar cheese and fucking coleslaw and like shit that doesn't mean anything, then it's not, at its core, it's not art.
No, and I'm gonna point out something that I saw on the, I agree, it's not art, but I saw something on the that I've seen in Venezuela and is so important in an improv group from the Logan. Like I don't remember, it's Antojitos. It was in the Antojitos show. I don't remember exactly the name of the guys that were doing improv. They were really good, but one of the things they do is they don't try to be a protagonist, and the story goes like everybody helps with the story. And I believe this is why people who do stand up find it a hard time to do improv, because it's so hard to not be the protagonist. And they do it. If they need a door, for example, someone is the door.
Literally.
And that doesn't happen on white people like stand up, white people improv, because always someone wants to be like,
star.
There's a scene with two people, and then one people is like, hey, I just came in here. Like, you can be a chair, dude, in this scene. Like, this is all that is needed in this scene.
Absolutely. I think so last year in Escándalo is made up, it's a weekly show. We're at IO Theaters Friday, 7:30, but it's made up of 18 performers. So we're a big team. We're always rotating, and I'm the one scheduling and managing it. So it's a lot of work, but I love it. But we're all different, and we have a lot of people that teach improv on the team, you know, fluent in Spanish, de todo. But on our first year, we did have a lot of, like, we were all so excited to play. So we were, like, screaming and yelling, and then it was hard to kind of, like, see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So to that, también I say it, I also think that it's about not wanting to be the protagonist, but also once you start playing with people more, you see their strengths.
Yeah.
And the show, if we're all here to make the show better, then if I know that if you're, like, a physical person, that I'm going to set you up to be the most physical you can be.
Yes.
And I think that also flows. So you just got to play with people you trust.
Yeah, and that takes time. Actually takes time.
You got to find your people.
Yeah, and I did improv, like the improv classes back in Venezuela, and I found that I was really bad at it because I wanted to be a protagonist. Because I always have this, like, oh, I have the best idea.
Yeah.
And instead of like, okay, let's play listening. With the idea. Well, instead of listening. And listening is so fucking hard. In all fucking, like, across all of our life.
Yeah.
Listening is the most difficult part. You always have to have an answer. You always have to say something. Like, you're entitled to say your thoughts, yes, but it's so difficult to listen to the other person.
That's what at the base of what improv is. And the first time I tried improv, I thought I was going to be good at it. I want to tell my first time doing comedy story. So I was maybe in my early 20s, and I was dating a very unsavory person. Not very. I mean,
I like unsavory to describe
an unsavory person. And
in Venezuela.
And he had left money at my place, even though we broke up. So I used that money and bought my first improv class. And then I never looked back. But I thought I was going to be really good at improv because I'm like, oh, God, I'm so funny. I don't take myself too serious. And then I got on stage and I took myself way too seriously. I was like, oh, my God, this is hard. But I think at the end, you know, because corporate offices will hire improv teams to come do workshops for them. Because at its core, improv is working with people. Yes. And so a lot of people in a post-pandemic world don't know how to work with each other, don't know how to talk, don't know how to, like, just converse. And so improv, when done correctly, it's meant to help you connect with people. And so maybe that's why also stand-up is a little hard to go to improv, because it's not just, like, you're focusing on yourself. Now you have to build something with someone else that you don't know how it's going to go. And you just kind of have to surrender yourself to it. Like, I tell people when they come to see improv, now when they come to see Escándalo, I'm like, okay, it's going to be a banger of a show. But sometimes, you don't know. I just say, hey, just come to the show. I don't know how it's going to go. We'll see what happens.
And I'll, before the pause, because we're going to make a pause soon, I just want to say one phrase that I do hate about improv, usually that I've seen in white people improv. I'm so sorry, white people, but is the phrase of the energy that you give us is the energy you are going to give you back. And it's like, no, I believe that shouldn't be the case. Like, the audience doesn't have to
be active.
Like, the audience pay a ticket to
be at a show,
to be entertained, not to be like, okay, now I have the responsibility of giving energy. Like, what the fuck? Like, I came here from work. I'm tired. Like,
no, I 100% agree with you. That's what hosting comes in, right? Like, I love to host. Like, even if there's only 7 people in the crowd, I'm going to give those 7 people the best show they've ever had. Because when the audience can feel our energy dip, it sets the tone for the rest of the show. Yes. And I am like, you know, we're working really hard on making this brand. Like, I keep telling people, I'm like, I'm going to make improv sexy. We are going to get it on the main, like, on the main entertainment. I'm going to get it out there. And I want people to be just, like, really excited about it, because all they know is stand-up. And, like, I'm sorry, but, like, stand up when you're in the mood, me encanta. But if you want something fresh, new, and come to a variety show, come see something different. So all that happens by us entertaining and putting on a production. And a production happens when the audience, I'm not reliant on the audience.
Yeah, no, you like, because the audience can be having a bad day.
Literally.
And what I found amazing in doing stand up, because it has happened, is when people that they are coming from a bad day, but they bought the ticket 2 days ago, and
they leave feeling
their
good.
Day was really bad. They're like, they have problems. They have stress. And then at the end, they tell you, like, dude, thank you, because you make my day better. That's amazing. And
art. That's what we're talking about.
That's art. And I encourage improv groups to do that. Like, you can flip the energy of an audience. They don't have to give you so much energy. If you give them energy, then they'll balance it out. But it's like, you cannot start a show being like, hey, the show is you. It's like, no, no. Yeah. The show is us.
You're
going to help us, yes, for sure.
I think it helps, too, with improv, because it's like, you know, you really show up. Like, we don't have to get a set together. We don't have to remember things. We just show up. But it always helps to come in with something. That means, like, whether you want to work on a character, whether you want to try a new accent out, whether something. So then that way you have something to kind of, like, help you.
Yeah.
Pero también there's also different forms. So, like, Escándalo does a form where we ask for a suggestion, and then one by one we'll get up and tell a story about our lives. And so we pull from that story. So then that's what inspires the scene, so that we're not just, like, out there. So all this to say is that at the end of the day, this art form is a technique. You can learn it. You can learn it to equip yourself better, to make the show more dynamic. And I think it's just one of those things where you guys got you just have to take, like, the step deeper. Because it's like, for a stand-up, you can go and try new things all the time. But the moment you commit to writing down a set, to, like, remembering something, your set will just get better. And that's the same for improv.
Yeah, okay. We're going to do a pause, because we are going to take some classes of improv right now. But we're going to come back. And we are back. there were some white people, so we escaped from the...
Oh, my God.
White people were teaching those classes. But no, like as I told you, I always bring topics. And the topic for today, I actually have a little bit to do. Have you teach kids?
Have I taught kids? Not really. No, I used to be a camp counselor, so I've worked with kids
a lot. Would you do it?
Would I do it again?
Like, would you teach kids?
Absolutely.
Improv?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm 32 now, and, you know, there comes a time where we have to recognize what our gifts are.
Wait.
Okay. Damn!
Okay.
But I know, I look good, shit, being Latina.
I thought you were so much younger.
Thank you. No, but there comes a time where we figure out what our gift is, you know? And my gift is I know I'm a cheerleader. Like, I have so much energy. I want to, like, always just give people just a lot of good energy because they can take it with them. And we're talking about switching someone's day from bad to good. And it's all about how we kind of present that. My other gift is connecting, which is why I love doing so many events and I do showcases. Cause I'm like, let's get us all in one room. And like, if you leave with a new friend or something,
that
it works. Yeah. So I think I could definitely get some kids riled up and get real inspired so they can be president and shit.
Because I believe kids will use, because I do believe improv, yes, it have to be you play, you need to learn technique, but also it have to be under a discipline regime. In what sense? Not like you need to wake up at 6 a.m. and come to the
improv.
No, no, but like in this play, like let's say with a kid, like especially with the kids now that they have ADHD, it's like you are a door,
right?
And that's it. And just put them in that situation that you're a door. Find yourself how to be funny as a door.
Yeah.
And I believe that will help them to relax and take a moment. And also, like, being like, no, you are going to be this. You cannot, like, escape from this. Because this is one the topic that I brought. I don't know if you have seen, but I saw a lot of TikToks. In Reddit, it's happening that teachers are quitting because they say they cannot teach to kids. And there's many reasons. And I saw a TikTok, and she put like 13 slides of reasons of why.
Shit.
And I screenshot the best one.
13 reasons why.
And 13 reasons why I quit teaching and suicide. Okay. No, but no. Her reasons were like pretty. This makes sense that it's happening, but it's so terrible that it's happening.
Okay, let me hear.
Okay. Reason number one.
Okay.
They don't want to do anything. When told to do their schoolwork at school by their teacher, like, and she put teacher like caps, their response will be like, what do I get if we do? Mm-hmm. Kids are not being told what to do by parents at home. They're being asked. They don't even grasp the concept of you have to, because they are constantly giving a choice and bribed with rewards to fulfill basic responsibilities like homework, cleaning up after yourself, listening to adults, etc. This is the first reason. And yes,
that was all like, the first reason?
This is just the first reason.
Oh my God.
And that happened, like, because I believe kids right now, it's like with the gentle parenting, it's coming. I'm fully support gentle parenting. Actually, no. 70%. Because I believe it's getting confused, gentle parenting to not parenting.
Mm.
Like, there's a blurry line between, like, yeah.
Between, like, empowering your kids and, like,
exactly.
Allowing them to roam
like,
free.
Between abusing your kids that is, like hitting them, like yelling at them, like that's terrible. I agree on that.
Yeah.
And just letting them be whatever they want without any responsibilities. And what she says is like, yeah, I see that. Like they're like, the kids is like put all the toys in the floor, and instead of being like, hey, you gotta pick after you and put the toys are in this place, they're like, hey, do you want to pick up the toys? And the kids is like, no. And they're like, well,
it's crazy because it's like a domino effect, right? It's like. We might think, and you know, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak on it, but I will give an opinion. But you know, we think
Latina 32, no kids, okay.
Breaking generational curses, baby.
Damn,
period. So I, you know, sometimes what happens at home, obviously, we know that leaves outside of the home, but it's crazy to see how in these little decisions. How it's causing teachers, now it's affecting teachers to be like, am I even good at my job? Because we're in a different day and age. Like, I honestly don't even know how teachers were teaching during the pandemic.
Exactly. No, it's awful.
So hard. Like, I have so much respect for teachers. Whenever I bartend and, like, we have a teachers or nurses convention, whatever you want, I'm for you guys. If you guys ever need anything, hit me up. But
go to improv class.
come to an improv class. Matter of fact, teachers, I will do improv classes for you if you ever need it.
Actually, that would be so dope.
I think it'd be sick.
One class, improv class for teachers.
For teachers, just to kind of play with it. But
business ideas. Okay.
And I'm always thinking. Yeah.
this is reason number two.
Oh my God.
They're 13.
You're going to do 13?
No, I screenshot the most important ones.
Okay, dale.
They cannot infer or use context at all. They need a specific step-by-step directions for everything. If I say clean up, they need to be told every single item that needs to be put away or cleaned. Most kids also cannot follow more than one step of direction at a time. Example, if I say hand your backpack on the hook, then take a paper and sit down. They will ask me what they're supposed to do next after hanging up their backpack and again after getting a paper. And I believe this goes with, they just hand them the iPad and it's like...
Social media también.
Social media is like, the attention span is like nothing.
Yeah.
So like if you don't put like a Minecraft video or like Subway Surfers under what you're saying, they're like,
Pero también I guess this is all from the pandemic because it's like, you know, obviously we're talking about the teachers, but the parents too, you know what I mean? Like I saw the show and it was like these parents, it was Couples Therapy, which is a great show. And it was the couple during the pandemic and their kid who was like a toddler bouncing off the walls, screaming, yelling, just trying to be entertained. And it's like for the sanity of the parents there, it's not black and white, right? Like I very much subscribe to the idea that nothing is black and white.
Yeah.
There's always gray. There's always special circumstances. So it's tough because it's like, to go for like 3 years of like, you know, I guess just like iPad or, you know, being on the computer or just kind of like focusing on that. And then to having to like reintegrate kids, like, I don't think that it all dwindles down to like, damn, this is just like a parenting thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, is it like a situation like pandemic? Like
it's a pandemic within like the learning or the education department.
But I do believe there's a blame in the parents because I've seen, like, I work in a restaurant for a moment and I saw a lot of parents that the kids, immediately as they sit down, they just give them the iPad.
Right.
And then when the food comes, they're like, hey, the food is here. They try to take the iPad away. And it's crazy. And they just leave the iPad.
Yeah.
And I do not understand what is happening. But this happens with people kind of our age also. Like, because I'm also 32. That
are you really?
Yeah.
Damn, hit it.
Damn. because I've seen this. Like, people that cannot eat if they don't have a YouTube video.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what is that?
Eat. Well, it's kind of like some people that are like stoners and they can't eat without a blunt. It's regardless of whatever you're leaning on, it's a codependency, right? And in this case, we're talking about iPads.
Yeah,
there's codependencies everywhere.
But I believe that's, I truly believe it's terrible that they cannot like not eat without having an iPad. And they also don't eat because they're just like...
Oye, pero también some people are got, you know, neuro
is tendencies. Raising kids... It's been difficult, but
period.
Number three. They cannot handle losing and refuse to play games if the rules aren't the same as how they play at home.
Whoa, that's me.
If we play games in teams, the losing team still specs and asks for a prize. The winning team then expects two prizes for winning. And this is what I told you about, like, putting them in situation on improv. That is like, there's no winning. Like,
absolutely.
And you have to do, and this is the part that you're playing. So maybe, like, teaching kids improv will help them create this, like, okay, I know, like, I want to be the protagonist, but in order to help the team, today I'm a door.
Yeah. I think that is tough. I mean, first of all, don't ever play a game with me because the craziest parts of me come out. My best friends and I, we have this understanding. It's like, if you can't talk shit with your friends while you're playing games, like, are you even friends? So I kind of relate to the kids a little bit on that. But I think it also, like, are the kids being integrated outside of school? You know what I mean? Because in school, the teachers are there. And, you know, some of the CPS schools, like, Rudy is, like, was a substitute teacher. And it was, like, 30 to 40 kids for like one teacher. There's only so much you can do as a teacher. And so in school, you're trying to get through a curriculum. You're trying to get them to look through this. So teaching them those social skills has to be like an extracurricular thing, you know? And it's like, you know.
But I believe that's part of the house. The things like. now the mom and the dad are working. So
I was just going to say, I'm like, people are having three jobs to make ends meet. So it sucks that it's like, this probably is just like a symptom of how bad our economy is.
Yes. Like, I believe like everything is, will, like, we're going to see the difficulties of the, I believe we're already seeing it because like kids 15, 16, they don't have an attention span.
No.
And
también all the sugar. I won't go down that conspiracy hole, but
sugar is a drug. Like
sugar is the leading thing in dementia and Alzheimer's.
I stopped eating cereal. Cereal is so bad for you.
It's so sugary.
So sugary. Yeah. It's like the worst breakfast you can ever have. Like a scientist have said, like, it's better to have two burgers as a breakfast than having cereal.
Okay, so now, perfect. Let's talk about that. So if the kids have cereal in the morning, they're crashing at school.
Yes.
Nothing going on here. So then it's not just like the social skills of the kids. It's also like, what are we... I ate Popeye's fries yesterday. Those are my favorite fries. I felt like shit.
Yeah.
I felt like shit for hours. And I thought it was everything else instead of realizing that it's like what we're putting in our body.
Yeah, no, like there's a teacher, like she said that people were like kids... You try to teach them, and even if you can control them, like to be sit down and be paying attention instead of on their phone, because that's also like they have phones, so they have all the distraction in the world in their pockets.
Truly,
like I didn't have that growing up.
Truly,
but even if they're like sit down and looking straight forward, she says like I can see in their eyes they're like not there.
They're not here.
They're least. There's a in Spanish is a. Escuchar y it's two words. It's oír y escuchar.
Mm.
And it is, we use it like you can listen to something but not pay attention to it.
Truly.
You just,
well, that's
the sound just hits you. But escuchar is different. It's like actually purposefully pay attention and listen to what someone is saying.
Active listening.
Actively listening. And I believe kids are just like listening.
Well, that's another reason why improv, that kind of brings back to improv, because let's say you're talking about going to the strip club, and if I'm not listening to you and I decide to talk about a sandwich, that scene is just gone.
Yeah, that is gone.
If I was listening to you about the strip club, then I could actively help paint that picture.
You can introduce the sandwich.
Exactly, exactly.
But now it's in the context of, in a like, now it's a roast beef.
No, sandwich. When we should be talking about the other roast beef. Damn.
Damn. There you go. And that's how listening works during improv. So I truly believe improv will help so
improv
much.
Improv is for
social skills for kids. But number four, I'm going to like summarize it a little bit. But number four is that they ask for everything. They don't do shit for themselves. It's like, if they want water, they ask the teacher, like, hey, can you fill my water? It's like, the thing is there. Just fill it yourself. Mm-hmm. Hey, they need a paper, and they have their stuff when they have the paper. They ask the teacher, hey, can you give me a paper? It's like, you can go and grab the paper. Like,
where is this teacher from?
She's from United States, but I didn't see, like...
Well, because if she's from, like, you know...
She didn't say location, exactly.
A richer neighborhood versus, like, you know, I was the firstborn here of immigrant parents, so I was what you call a latchkey kid. And if you don't know what a latchkey kid is, the kids that would wear the key to their house around their neck.
No.
So I wore that every day because I would take care of myself since I was like 11 years old.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, making my ramen, making my huevos at home. Like I knew how to do it. And then I took care of my brother when I was like 12.
That happened a lot in Latino families.
No, like, literally.
The big bro takes care of
of everybody. The that's why I personally don't want kids. I think it all depends on where you're from, because this type of personality type of, like, I have to figure out a way to do it.
Sounds white.
You know what I'm saying? Well, it's like, you know.
Yeah, but yes.
So it depends on where, because I also don't, I'm talking about things not being in black and white. I don't want to generalize all families, because, like, if you have a two-income household and, like, you know, you have both the parents that are around, but you have people taking care of them that are there to serve them, then of course they're going to get accustomed to that lifestyle. But if you're growing up, like, to immigrant parents where you have to, like, translate the tax form, you have to translate the car insurance form, you have to, like, translate what your teachers are saying, like, you're embedded, you have to learn how to do things. You are honestly an adult, so... That's why I feel very grateful, because, like, you know, I obviously love my parents. My parents are the American dream, strong people. But through those skills that I learned here, I think has helped really helped me build my business. Because I'm like, I find a way to do it, but sometimes it's kind of detrimental. Because then I'm in overdrive. Then I don't know how to relax.
Yeah, and also it was a trauma. Like, right now you are thankful, but at the moment it was like, why am I taking care of, I'm also a kid.
Yeah.
So, it's a balance. That's why I'm saying, gentle parenting is okay. But there's a blurry line between gentle parenting and not parenting. Actually, another of the reasons she says is that they don't see you as a figure of respect.
Yeah, like
they don't respect you. They're you are the same as me. Mm. It's like, so that's why they do not understand when you're like, hey, you need to do this. And who are you?
That feels, when I was a camp counselor, because like I said, I raised my younger siblings, I talked to them like this. Like, they would be crying out. Actually, this is a really good story. I'm going to keep it short. They were, when they cry, you know, when my parents are around, they're like, blah, 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 blah. But when I was babysitting, I'm like, what's wrong? And I'm like, okay, well, go to your room and come back when you're ready. And they're like, they start freaking out. And then afterwards, they come back when they calm down and they're like, I'm ready. And I'm like, okay, I love you. Come here. And I remember being at this party and I told this child therapist this who works at a Montessori school. I love Montessori schooling. I find it very fascinating. But I was telling her the story and she immediately scolded me. She's like, you don't do that. Like, why would you do that? In front of people, she was trying to make me feel small. And I was just so taken aback by that. And then I asked her, I was like, if you don't mind me asking, how did you grow up? How are your parents? And she's like, oh, my dad is a therapist. And I'm like, so then shut the hell up. Shut the hell up, dude.
You are fucked up.
No, that means that your dad knows how to process things, knows how to process emotions, knows how to talk through them. My parents, unfortunately, did not have those skills too. I did not learn those skills too. And so to shame people for not doing things the way that they should be done or a gold standard, I don't subscribe to that.
No, and also I believe therapies, they have their own bubble. Like there's a guy who went to different therapies pretending the same symptoms, and all of the therapies
gave different
answers. So it's a therapist, they do have a lot of knowledge, but it's
circumstantial. Circumstantial, right? Yeah. And how they grew up and what their beliefs are.
Yeah, so they don't have objectively the truth.
But I think that's good, because then you find the therapist that aligns with you.
Exactly. Yeah, no. Find a therapist that aligns with you. Better help.
Damn.
Okay. The reason number 8 is that they don't see future. In what sense? That the kids right now, if you ask them, what do you want to do when you grow up? Before, there was a lot of things that they can say. Now, apparently, it's they know doctors and firefighters, and that's it. And most of them say YouTube or streamers, because sadly, we have pampered to them that the way to be successful, because that is what they see, is being a streamer or a YouTuber. And that's 0.0001% of YouTubers are actually famous. And you can see Nanoel Latino with a podcast. Why? Because I don't know. Yeah. But it's trying to be an actor, a famous actor. It's no one tells them, these are careers that it's not like everybody who does it becomes famous.
Right. Yeah, no, I feel two things. One, when I grew up, same thing for me. I was like, I want to be a nurse. I want to be a teacher because, you know, as girls, that's what we're told. Hey, this is what's best for you. Yes. But then I was just talking to my friends that I don't know, this is a little fucked up. I could not see myself growing old. I didn't think I was going to live past 28. I swear to God. I really did think.
Look at you at 30.
Look at me 32. Snatched, looking fabulous.
Now you look 26, so maybe you still have 2 years in your life.
Knock on fucking wood. I didn't see it either. And on the other hand, I always say this joke. I'm like, we don't need any more SoundCloud rappers. We need plumbers. We need electricians. But on the flip side, you know, with the curriculum in school, why are they changing it so much? Why are we teaching kids a new way to multiply and add? It's to dumb the kids down. It's to they don't want you to make your own decisions, because if you don't know what you want out of the world, then you're more likely to fall for consumerism. And so it's tough because the kids have the odds stacked against them. And they're showed on social media, I want to do this, I want to do that, because it's what they see. Where are the plumber TikTokers? Where are you at? Stand up. Where are the accountant TikTokers? Yeah, they don't, stand up.
The algorithm doesn't help them. Unless it's a plumber that have her tits out and she's dancing while she does the plumbing, then maybe you'll see that plumber.
Well, that is also the fucked up thing
porn.
About.
Even, but what happened with the pizza guy? What happened with the plumbers in porn? They're not there.
They live with their moms. Yeah. They live with their mommies.
No, actually being a plumber, electrician,
fat cash.
Yes.
So much. If you want to be an electrician, if you want to be a plumber, if you want to be a carpenter, if you want to be an HVAC specialist or a welder, you're going to be making money. Or even a trash collector. They are all part of the union. They're making six figures.
Yes.
And we're watching videos on how influencers can make six figures. It's tough.
This is important because, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'll
no,
like,
no, no, no. I mean, it's tough. I think, but the other flip side, I had this, what's the realization last year is that, you know, in school, we're always taught, in our generation, so like I said, I'm in my 30s, we're taught that you make money by going somewhere to punch in and punch out, and you make your check, and it's honest, and that's how you do it. But that's not the way the world is right now. No. There is so much money to be made online, and a lot of us feel that we are not, like, deserving of it, because we're like, oh, we don't want to be an influencer, we don't want to be this, we don't want to be that, but there's so much loophole. This is another thing that's not black and white. Like, you know, I think people nowadays, and something that I've learned in watching a lot of content and really tracking it, is that this is the age of people wanting to relate to the content they're seeing. So now it's not about everything looking perfect and beautiful in a bright sunny day. They want to see you work towards something. They want to be on a journey with you. They want to, like, invest in you. So if you're, like, wanting to be a content creator and you don't want to sell out and do all this crazy shit, then just talk about something. If you're a mom, I love talking to moms. They think they have no one that'll ever watch their shit. And I'm like, moms are the number one thing that people want to watch.
Yeah.
The everyday life type shit, you know? So you don't have to jump off a ceiling. You don't have to have your thong out and your tits out. You just have to make shit that people can relate to. So anyways, money is there to be made online. Money is also there to be made at an honest job where you're not worrying about looking sexy every day. There's money everywhere, and money's abundance, and we all deserve it.
Yeah, and I'm going
to... Damn.
Damn.
And I'm going to... I just put sad music for some reason. No, and... or this.
You so had that sad music ready.
No, but I'm going to say something. Like, with this, we're going to end the episode. We're going to maybe keep talking about this because it's a nice subject to talk about on the bonus content. But six figures is being made by plumbers, electricians, by... guys who
HVAC,
operate
back welders,
the guy who operates like
the tractors, like the tractors, heavy machinery,
and the heavy machinery to do buildings,
construction workers,
la grúa. That is making six figures, but like they are not seen as high value men, because if you're like, oh, I'm a trash collector.
I see. Yeah.
They're like, ugh. It's like, he's making 150K a year, literally. Okay? Shut the fuck up.
I think it all comes down
to... He's providing for his whole family.
Literally. I think it comes down to, what do you want out of life? Do you want to be seen? Or do you want to make money? Like, you know, I'm from the art. I want the arts. I want to build community. I want to be, like, in front of people. My brother, opposite of me, all he wants is a family and a life and a stable life. And
that's beautiful.
We have to understand that there are people that want that as well, and we should not shame them. Because my brother, living good. Living good, younger than me, and the man is living good. Julian Jamaica, shout out, I love you so much. But it's all depending on what you want out of life. And that requires some introspection, which is going to happen whenever you're ready to have it. But it will be there, and it'll fit whatever life you want.
So choose your path, and don't let anybody shame you. Because if they try to shame you, it's because they have enough time on their life to get on other person's life. So go to your path and be happy. I believe that not be happy. Happiness comes in moments, but find your way to be peaceful.
Yeah, and also life is not about finding yourself. It's about creating yourself. That's so create whatever version you need to make yourself happy.
Okay, and with that, we say adios. Adios.
Bye.
No, you gotta say in Spanish, adios.
Adios.